to Extra Point. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damaschek.
Welcome to the Extra Points Podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you, spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess from the Elk Camp facilities. And joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss. Before we say hello, hit us up, extrapoints.com/arcade. We have a prop culture contest, head-to-head NFL pick'em, college pick'em challenge, and MLB playoff challenge. Lots going on. Free to play, free, exciting prizes, almost as exciting as last night's game. Shaq.
Hello?
Yes, there you
go.
Now
are. I can say hello?
Say hello.
Well, I want to say hello and, sincere regrets to you and to San Francisco Giants fans. I don't know who I feel worse for. A glorious streak comes to an end, Sal, because Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and whoever else is responsible couldn't kick a field goal. I feel like that this was legitimately Sal on his 10-game streak on Thursday Night Football for Fox Sports had picked Thursday Night winners correctly against the number.
Well, here's where I have to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Of course, we're going to talk about this game. I picked straight up. They only let me pick straight up. So I'm 11. I didn't lose. I know there are a lot of confused people out there. You, whoever's in charge of the -3 Twitter account, but I've won 11 in a row. It's not as impressive as picking 11 against the spread, but we're at a time where the networks are not allowing. They've not evolved. We can't pick against the spread.
Is that why Joe Buck does his overly cute?
Yeah.
There are some people that are interested in.
Exactly. He might not even be on the telecast next Thursday, but I can only pick straight up. It's again, it's not as sexy, but it's still now with Tampa Bay, 155-1 odds that if you strung together all my wins, I don't know what to say. I can only pick the game that's in front of me. If I had, I picked the Eagles, I would have lost. My streak would be over. I can't take like the Jaguars. It's Tampa Bay, Philly. There's going to be some games in here that are six or seven points in the 11 games. I think I picked three or four underdogs. There were three coin flip games. And then you're going to have the Tampa Bay. You're going to have the situation probably next week too. Cleveland home against Denver, where it's a 6 or 7 point favorite, but I don't know what to say.
It's kind of like, the thing winning or losing on kind of like a check swing that was incorrectly called.
That
right?
That was bad too. That was bad too.
Well, I'm trying to connect.
No,
the
I got
there,
you.
But yes,
I
don't know. Yeah, that's, I guess I didn't realize that.
Well,
whoever runs
I get
the
it.
Handle
I know
at -3.
Well, you're looking at me differently now. I know it's not as impressive, but all I could do is pick the game in front of me, Martin. I'm sorry.
Why is the beef with the field goal? I thought the beef would have been with the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's 28. First of all, Tampa's up with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, 28-7. It looks like a whitewash. Nothing's going to happen. Hurts had like 56 yards passing forever. There's not one unit on that Eagles team that is impressive, I think, overall or last night. And then they get going. I think he has two rushing touchdowns in a row. They cut it to 28-20. And then they go for two. Nick Sirianni goes for two, which apparently...
God bless him.
God bless him if you have Philly plus 6.5. It's not something we see a lot. I don't have a problem with it because I think everyone should go for two. And if you have a running quarterback especially, and if you're playing Tampa Bay especially, because they're probably going to go score again or do something. So, and he makes it. 28-22, Shaq.
The analytics support, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I'm bad at math. I generally ride with the put your foot on the gas in the 21st century pro football, and you should go. That one, I haven't really looked into. I just know that that's the script dictates that you're supposed to go for two. It doesn't really make sense there. I hate to sound like Troy Aikman here, but
no,
it
man.
Is like
it absolutely
what?
Makes sense.
Go ahead, Mark.
I know it does by the percentages, but I don't fully grasp it. Intellectually.
What I want to know, Martin, is why does it make sense more than always going for two? I think the answer is, okay, you need two touchdowns to win this game, right? You know that if you don't get another touchdown, it doesn't matter if you kick an extra point, go for two, or just walk off the field. So you now have two chances to get the two.
Right. So and plus, I don't know if you guys remember, but just a week ago, there were quite a few extra points kicks and field goals missed, including one by the Philadelphia
also
kicker
fair.
In this
right.
game,
right.
right? So I think that factors into it. But if you're down 14 points, you need to get, max 15 to win the game, right?
Right.
So if you get the touchdown, you go down by six, obviously.
From 8-6.
Then you can win it with the you have to get a stop regardless, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't convert that 2-point, now you only have 6 points and you still need to get the 8. You have to convert the 2-point on the second one. You have a better chance to tie. I don't think it necessarily increases your chances to win. Mm-hmm. It increases your chances not to lose.
I'm with you. My thing is, you're playing Tampa Bay. Why aren't you always going for two? The mindset should be Tom Brady has never done scoring. When they go down 28-6, why don't they go for two there?
Well, I mean, we obviously all watched this Eagles game last night, and if you watched that Eagles offense, I would be surprised if they even got to the end zone in the first place. Yeah, so that would be my reservation against running another offensive play.
Right. But this is what I mean. It was Hurts to Q Watkins to get the 2-point conversion. Everybody should be going for two.
I also hate the play call there. That's as a side note. That's a tough ball for Hurts to complete, and he throws a perfect pass there to get it. That was a weird play call. One side note, number two, I wish to throw in there for the fantasy enthusiasts among us. This is why young quarterbacks who can run, even if they're not great quarterbacks, are good value to get on your roster. Jalen Hurts runs in 2 touchdowns. He's a bum but he's a good
Randy
one to play.
Randy had like 3 points out of Hurts the whole time, and then all of a sudden he's got like 24.6 or something because he can run for 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
Right.
Tom Brady, 0-11 in primetime primetime regular season games. I'm pretty sure he won a Super Bowl there, but 0-11 in primetime regular season games against the spread.
Pretty good.
That's also a remarkable number. Yeah.
It's a remarkable number. And it just shows you like.
He sucks.
Well, just also, too, I feel like everybody, like, you know, they say don't want to be on the same side of the public. Mm-hmm. Like what Damashek said it just a few weeks ago. Tom Brady's inevitable. I'm never betting against him. That wasn't the white guy voice. That was the Pittsburgh accent.
That's a terrible impression.
Pretty damn good.
Thank you.
It's pretty good,
Shaq. But, you know, this just goes to show you how easy it is to take people's money. Because Tom Brady against the spread in the last, what? I said it was 8, 9, 10.
Oh, did you? So you bet money on the Eagles?
I did. Last night.
You actually did?
I think you did.
Oh, okay.
I did
all
last
right.
night.
Muzzle tough.
Like I said, I was going to do it on Wednesday on extra points.
Egg on
Were
my
you there?
Face. I was. I didn't believe that you would actually do it, but muzzle tough to you if
There's
you
no
did.
Cap in my rap, Damashek. If Ooh, I said I'm picking like it, I'm picking it. All I'm right. doing it.
That's my new phrase.
Babyface, write that down. We're collecting T-shirt ideas. No cap in my rap. So the Eagles lose 28-22, and then they go and trade Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz to the Cardinals for Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth-round pick. Now, speaking of fantasy enthusiasts, Ertz can't play. That would have been interesting if he could have played Sunday and you could get double points for him if you have Zach Ertz on your roster. But he just can't play in real life or fantasy life. But this is pretty good for Arizona. This makes him better. He's got like half a dozen red zone end zone targets, I think. Scored yesterday. By the way, I had him to score the first Eagles touchdown plus 520. That was a nice one. But this makes Arizona better, Shaq.
Overwhelming offense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know A.J. Green, the cynics among us will throw out, like, wow, Zach Ertz's best days are past him. Yeah, that's also true for A.J. Green. It was true for Larry Fitzgerald last year, too. But the collection of them, I mean, Christian Kirk is in there. Mm-hmm. The perhaps the best of them all in football, Nuke Hopkins. Boy, oh, boy. And yet, spoiler alert, I know we'll get to it. I like the home team Arizona's playing this week, right?
Well,
they don't have Ertz, the Cards. I know you're projecting out over the season, but that's a fascinating game on both sides of the playoff seedings here coming up already.
You think that's a fascinating game? How about one we're about to play? It's called Week 6 and 60.
Ooh.
And it's 60 seconds. The three of us give our picks. Babyface Joel Solomon, how many do you predict we'll get through? You can just yell it out. Out of how many games is 14 to start? We won't do Monday. It's a 13. It was one yesterday. Out of 12?
Four.
Four?
Call me Carmelo. What he does as a ball stopper, Damashek's going to be as a conversation stopper, as usual.
All right, let's do it. Let's see how – what do you think? Do you think four is a lofty
I mean, I would like to think that – I mean, I know if it was up to me, I feel like I could get 12. But we are carrying Damashek here.
You know what? I'm a team guy, though. It's about team goals now. I'm draped in individual glory. It's not about that for me. I just want an NBA title now. Here we go. Ready?
Let's make it 4.5, and I'm going to go under just to have a half in there. All right? 60 seconds. I'll say the teams. I'll say the spread. and then I'll go to Martin. I'll go to you, Dave. I'll go
you
to
set you. The pace, though, Martin. Okay.
All right.
You be our rabbit here.
All right. Ready? Week 6 and 60. Ready? Go. Miami minus 3. Jacksonville. It's in London. I'm taking Miami.
Miami. I'm not betting against Urban Meyer.
All right. Indy minus 10 over Houston at home in Indy. I'm taking Indy.
Indy.
It's a hard one, and there are a lot of factors to it. I'm going to go with Indy.
Okay. Green Bay up to minus 6 at Chicago. Soldier Field. I'm going Green Bay.
Fighting Aaron Rodgers. Give me that.
All right. I'll take the Bears.
Kansas City on the road at Washington minus 6.5. I'm going Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Never cover.
Boy, I really want to take D.C. here, but I got to go with the Chiefs here. No offensive line there for the home team.
Minnesota on the road, minus 2.5 at Carolina. Maybe no McCaffrey. I'm going the McCaffrey list, potentially Carolina Panthers.
Vikings has some tough losses. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
I'm with Sal and the team in teal.
All right. Ravens at home, minus 2.5 over the Chargers.
Is that powder blue or is it teal?
Baltimore.
I'm going with the Chargers. Brandon Staley will go for 2 and cover this for me.
Oh, yeah, it's the Chargers. What kind of number is that? What are we? Have people watched the season so far?
All right. We're done. We did all right. We got through half the slate, right? 6, babyface? Is that it? I think we got through 6. You guys were covered. Nice. All right. I think we could do better.
I'm
you know, maybe we give it 2 minutes. We call it the 2 minute drill. No, that, nothing's ever been called that before. Right?
Never heard
I like
of
that. Very clever.
Okay, good.
Very clever.
Good, good, good.
Really
hurry up. We should call it the hurry up.
All right, so since we ended on that, Ravens minus 2.5, I'm going Baltimore. I feel like I'm the only one. On against all odds, I was the only one who liked Baltimore. You could say they're a lucky team. They lost on that crazy field goal.
You could say because that would be true.
Sure, but some of these lucky teams, I'm gonna pose it a different way. I think Harbaugh has this. I don't even know if it's they're in better shape or what, but all these lucky wins have been comebacks, and they've, like, blown out teams, like, in the fourth quarter, right? Like, the Chiefs game. Chiefs were running all over them or throwing all over them. And then they just beat them up in the second half. Same thing with the Lions. They had no right being in that game. Same thing, obviously, with the Colts last week. Are they just in better shape? There's something. I just think if they're in the game and they have a much better field goal kicker, I theorize that the Chargers might be favored by 7 if they had Justin Tucker and the Ravens had Tristan Viscaino. That might be the big difference since the quarterbacks.
That is what's terrifying, is the Chargers have Tristan Viscaino as their extra-point field goal attempter.
Can you believe he still has his job? If
absolutely
you would have told me that
not.
With 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter on Sunday, oh, yeah, he's still going to be the Chargers kicker next Friday, I would have been stunned.
Like, absolutely not. I can't believe that he still has his job. But now the thing about the Ravens, they came back on the Colts, but the Colts had nobody in their defensive secondary.
Correct.
And I'm not trying to come back. Like, don't get me wrong. They still had to come back from, 22 down? I mean, 22 to 3, 22-9, and make that big comeback. But they were starting practice squad guys that were rushed into practice and rushed into action. I think that the Chargers are just a better team than the Ravens. You think, NFL record field goal to beat the Lions, who are winless? Mm-hmm. You know, the Colts had one win. They're not good. Like, I just – and then, too, the Ravens on defense aren't going to be able to cover Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
They said they have a plan.
Well, I assume everybody has a plan.
The coach said they have a plan for that. But I'm with you.
The straw man thing about, like, if you don't support Lamar Jackson, you're a bad human being or something is a weird thing to
– I just – what is he's responsible for more offense. He is than 20 other teams. He just
hit. He is a phenomenon unlike anything we've ever seen. We can swoon some more. You can go listen to Minus 3 with Mina Kimes. We get into some genuflection to Lamar Jackson. The issue is not the QB. It's the rest of the roster. That is not a good defense in Baltimore. That is not a good offensive line. That is going to be diminishing returns. We're already seeing it with the running backs who Lamar hands the ball off to. Mm. Yes, the pass catchers are coming on. He's throwing some better passes. But again, they should have lost to Detroit. They should have lost to the Lions. By the way, the Lions might be a good pick this week. The Colts are not a great team, and they had them whipped, and Lamar just about fumbled the game away for the second time out of 5 weeks. The Chiefs have no defense, and the Chiefs still should have beaten them. This is the most fraudulent contending team, you know, alleged contender out there right now. Now, there's something to be said about momentum, and people like to argue. I have neither the time nor the inclination to indulge the, like, whether or not momentum is a real thing.
But there is something about once you start winning games, the guys in the locker room start to believe. You always hear that. There's got to be some credit.
I think there's fourth quarter momentum, if that's a thing. I mean, it just shows. And so if it's a close game with this kicker disparity and the fact that you can run on the Chargers, you can. Look back.
Yep.
They give up big runs. They did against Cleveland. They were lucky to win that game. But probably a better team. I just like the Ravens even on a short week in this spot. All right, let's go Green Bay, Chicago. Check that we went over this in the 60 seconds. I feel we gave enough analysis there, but we'll expand on it a little bit. Chicago getting 6 points. This is the greatest rivalry in NFL that's produced maybe one game that anyone could remember. What a fraud this is.
Which is the game you're thinking of? Let me guess. You're thinking of Fridge Perry's touchdown on Monday Night Football?
I guess that would count, too. I was thinking of, it's not even memorable because the Bears, who the hell was their quarterback? I know Cutler was hurt, right? It was the playoff game to get into the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
B.J. Raji.
Jesus.
Caleb Haney.
Like, we celebrated this. This was the 100-year anniversary. Hundreds of games they've played.
Completely agree.
I still don't like it.
They've been around for a long time.
Right.
Congratulations. It's the Frank Gore of rivalries. It doesn't make you great just because you've been around forever.
When Khalil Mack knocked out Aaron Rodgers, that definitely happened in a Bears-Packers game.
That's true. That did happen. There are plays, but I just don't remember like a big, maybe
Rodgers,
Monday night, bro. Was that the game that the guy jumped out of the stands to catch the ball?
I was at that game.
Were you?
Yes, I was there on Monday Night
Bears
Football.
Packers?
Yeah, it was Bears-Packers.
Okay, so
Robert Brooks catches
moment.
Like a 90-something-yard touchdown, and the guy was one section over from
right.
us with his big
Jaromir
Jagr hair jumping out of the stand. I didn't see it live.
That's the greatest moment in the rivalry. Right
perhaps.
There.
Yeah, also the Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb when the 8-7-1 Packers mm-hmm. somehow rallied the pull. I think, was that the relaxed season? Maybe not, but... yeah, I agree with you about the quality of this rivalry. The uniforms are going to be. Have you seen the throwbacks the Bears are wearing?
Oh, you like them?
Oh, they're heaven. They're just heaven. Now, what's not heaven? 6 points. That feels heavy in Soldier Field. The defense still is not great up there in Green Bay. I like Justin Fields as the season wears on here, but I'm gonna say the Packers, but I don't love it.
I am too. Now, if this flies to 7. I may back off, but...
No, you know what? I took the Bears. I got to say, I just said the Bears 4 minutes ago. I better stick with
my Bears. Oh, you
did?
Yeah,
okay. Absolutely.
I know you get mad. We make you do a graphic on Wednesday night, and you might change your opinion on Thursday. But yeah, if it's 4 minutes ago, we should probably stick.
You're right.
I'm going Packers. Last 15 against the Bears, 13-2, 11-4 against the spread. I know people are getting excited about the Bears. They beat the... they may have even been up for that game more. The Khalil Mack of the world. It was the Khalil Mack Bowl against the Raiders. And Aaron Rodgers just kills this team. He just does. 20-4, 55 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Packers 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 in October. Also, Green Bay 3-7 against the number in their last 10 versus the NFC North. What do you think, Martin? Too big?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's too big. I like the Pack. I don't like this Bears team one bit. I think they got a weird win last week because if we had known,
yeah,
obviously all the things that if you had known to all those emails that were going to come out and all, like they, I feel like. You had an idea that Las Vegas had an idea that this was going to be happening.
I told you that. I told you I took the Bears because of exactly this stuff.
Mm. We had a little.
Forgive me. I'm talking
about. You said we didn't know. I said it.
Are you saying Khalil Mack leaked the emails?
No, I'm saying if Dave Damschek had inside information, maybe we should be breaking news on Extra Points instead of the New York Times or Washington Post or wherever.
Yeah, Shaq, don't keep that to yourself. We should let that
maybe
go.
I just said it on social media, but I definitely did point out that I'm taking the Bears because of the scandal. I said they're human beings. Of course, they're not ready for the game now. All this nonsense going
Wait,
on.
Wait, so by then there was the one, the only.
But
the
that was just the first one. Yeah, it was the first email with the Demaurice Smith, and then everything else happened on Monday Night Football,
gotcha.
Right? So I think the Bears got a fraudulent win yesterday, or last week rather, mm-hmm. and the Pack, like Green, like you said, Aaron Rodgers owns this team, and this Bears team isn't good. They're mm-hmm. not. They're not coached well, and they don't have any left tackle. It's just – I just don't see the Bears being able to keep up.
And, like, Raj, I just feel like there's a bias against the Packers. Like, oh, this is a trap game for them. Like, even with the Bengals last week, it was like, yeah, that was a trap game. Their kicker missed 37 field goals, and they still won and kind of covered because that closed at 2.5 over the Bengals. I'm going Green Bay. I don't want to overthink. I think it's a really good teaser.
I think that is a fun – yeah, that's a great way to do it, pair it up with another one because
right.
the 6 points presents itself. I will say quickly to get in the Wayback Machine in the game you mentioned, Jay Cutler knee injury, stands on the sideline in his cape and everything else, and Caleb Haney comes in for the Bears in that title game. If they win that game, and it was pretty close, it would have been Caleb Haney starting for the Bears in the Super Bowl against the Steelers in Super Bowl 45.
That's what it was.
Think about that. Caleb Haney, because
it was close for a minute. Did it end like
Cutler wouldn't have been able
something?
To play, right? And it would have been Caleb Haney having. Yeah. And I think McCown also got hurt to the point that he wouldn't have been able to. It would have been Caleb Haney against the Steelers. That would have been the seventh ring right there for black and gold.
All right, Cards at Browns. This has moved down. It was Cleveland minus 3.5. Browns are home. It's now 3.
I'm seeing it at 2.5.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Did I not refresh on FanDuel.com? Well, the big news is Nick Chubb is out. He didn't practice all week. And they're like, you know, this is early Friday morning.
Oh, sorry. No. Sorry. I'm wrong.
Back up to 3.
Damashek did not hit refresh.
I'm looking at the Chargers game. I'm sorry. I'm obsessed with my Chargers. That's my team, you know. Sorry. Yeah.
Arizona's defense giving up the second most rushing yards per carry in the league. I know Chubb's out. I think Hunt could be a top 5 running back. We don't know, right? I mean, he's not too much outside of that range, right? I like the Browns. 5-2 against the spread in the last 7 overall. I think it's like a low scoring 24-70. There's also rumors now that Kyler has another shoulder injury. That he was throwing weird in practice and weird in the second half. We know Baker has the labrum injury, but I'm still going. I think this is a coaching mismatch too. I'm going Browns to win.
I'm taking the Browns. I think the Browns definitely cover. I think they'll win. The injury report for Arizona is incredible. And especially the number one thing that matters the most, Kyler. If Kyler can't go, this team can't go.
Right.
Like he's the engine to the car. I said on Lemon Pepper, if Kyler is not his normal self, the Cardinals turn into from a Ferrari to a Ford. Like true. And then with that too,
it might be generous too.
Rodney Hudson's not
going
to play
below a Ford.
Well, it depends. It depends on what type of Ford.
My wife drives a Ford. Yeah,
okay. I drive a Ford.
Yeah.
Snow shots. Nah. But, Rodney Hudson's not going to play. And two, Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin, the tackles for the Browns, are going to play.
Right.
They're going to run up and down against the Cardinals. I love the Cardinals as a team, but they're all short, they're all small, and they're all going to get smashed in Cleveland.
There you go.
Little known fact, yeah. Martin wheels around town in a Ford Taurus. It's weird. It's a surprising car choice.
First of all, it's a Ford Fusion plug-in.
The problem with your analysis or your analogy there is that Ford beat Ferrari in the movie, didn't it?
I didn't watch it, honestly.
Okay, you're gonna have to watch a movie. I don't know. I think we have to go back to the drawing board with that.
I just know this.
In my Ford Fusion, I'm not beating any Ferraris down the 405.
Spaghetti, so who won that? I didn't watch the end.
I think you're right. Is it Shelby Ford?
Matt Damon is the Ford guy.
All right. Please, someone confirm.
Yeah, I don't remember
who
wins
been
that.
Great because everybody remembers the ending.
No, I just know that it actually happened in real life.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so Shelby. It's not fake.
Oh, my God.
Google Matt Damon's biography. It'll tell you the answer there.
Sopranos movie's fake, though, right?
No, also real.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's going on?
I'll say one bit of intrigue that Spaghetti and I went back and forth on. I'm not sure. Is Cardinals at Browns a good uniform matchup or a terrible one? It's very rusty and autumnal, so maybe it is nice ultimately. Mm-hmm. I think the home
spicy
crowd.
Yeah.
I think the home crowd is going to leave pleased. The Cardinals are exciting and fun, but yes, I'm with Martin. We saw a month's worth of Kyler Murray limited a year ago. The returns weren't great. I think the Browns can beat
now,
them up pretty good on the ground, even without their main
The fact that Myles Garrett decorated his lawn with NFL quarterback gravestones, are you leaning to it? I mean, is that why the spread went down a little bit? Maybe not. I don't know. I like this. I kind of like it. You talk about bulletin board material on a half acre or whatever that is. He has the – now, your guy's up there too, Shaq. Big Ben, I'm trying to read the headstones here. This is on his lawn. He decorated it for Halloween purposes. And I'm seeing Murray. Okay, there you go. Herbert, Jackson, Jones. So this isn't based – oh, this is based on who they played and who they're going to play? Yeah, I guess it is. That makes sense. This is great. I will say, if one of these guys is murdered, he should be brought in for questioning, right? I mean, this is not good for him.
I just can't believe he missed the most obvious one. Who? I don't know why Mason Rudolph doesn't have a tombstone.
Right.
I haven't seen or heard from that man since he got bonked in the head.
I killed all these guys with my helmet. I swung and swung and swung, and now they're on my lawn.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. What a great guy Miles is. Let's celebrate
him
more. Yes, he certainly is worthy of celebration.
This is more fun than Juju jumping, doing TikTok videos. I like this. If you're about fun, No,
I agree. It's fun. I mean, the Mason Rudolph thing, he sullied
that was fun too.
A grown man's the rest of Mason Rudolph's life. It will carry in the first paragraph that weirdness that is a slur that I do not believe happened.
I don't even think it'll be that. For the rest of Mason Rudolph's life, what's going to happen is people are going to remember that he was all the way over there minding his own business and ran over to Myles Garrett and got in arms, and then he got hit in the head.
What are you talking about?
Hey, go back and watch the video. Mason Rudolph was all the way over there. Pal CNN was messing with Garrett. Mason Rudolph ran up there like, you can't do that to me.
It's kind of true.
Bopped him on the head.
Yep. It was a good bopping, Shaq. But you're going Cleveland. We're all going Cleveland here.
I feel like this is sort of the gimme of the week. If I'll consider it right up until game time, but as of now, put in pencil, Damashek's gold star pick of the week, Cleveland Browns -3 at home.
All right, can I give you my Mason Rudolph? This is I don't care how many times he gets hit in the head with a helmet. This is the worst moment. This may be my worst beat. Have I told you this about Martin? I had like Hillary over Trump in the swing states, and I had La La Land over. What do you call it?
Moonlight?
Moonlight. I can't. I blocked half of it out. I can't. Yes. So those were bad
losses.
Boy,
your cousin Jimmy really screwed that one.
He really did. Yeah. He shouldn't have hosted. That's why it's never hosted again. Central Michigan, Oklahoma State. Mason Rudolph's the quarterback. Up 4 with 4 seconds left. How do you lose? And I just have the money line. How do you lose up 4 with 4 seconds left? How do you do it? I'll tell you. He goes back to pass. He chucks a ball far into the end zone and out of bounds. They think the game's over. They call grounding. They somehow have to kick the ball, and it's returned for a touchdown. Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State. Up 4 with 4 seconds. This isn't basketball if you're up. I mean, even that's crazy, up 4. It's not Reggie Miller time. Like, up 4, 4 seconds left.
I was working at a Detroit radio station at the time, and it was big for the one Central Michigan alum that was in the building.
And so they called the game wrong. I think the grounding was the wrong call. And so when Oklahoma State, did they win the conference that year? They had some kind of rings, and they disregarded the fact that they had a loss on the ring. They counted it as a win. But not me. Not my guy back home.
I think it was 1984. The Canes and Bernie Kosar, their season opener after they win the national title against Nebraska, is against Florida. And I bet my uncle, I said, and I meant it deep in my balls. Whether or not he really meant.
How deep?
I said, my bar mitzvah had just happened, and you make a little money. I said, I'll bet you all my money. You have to match it.
Bar mitzvah's not very deep.
I knew where they were going to, and I think it was Miami was going to lose anyway, and I was like, but it's not going to cover, so I'm going to lose. And Kosar got intercepted on the last play, and it was like a 70-yard return to get the cover.
Yeah.
And I was like, I called him immediately, and he said, yeah, but every time we're doing one-on-one, shooting in the backyard, you already owe me your life savings. So just add that to the pot. It made me bitter. It made me cynical about life for the rest of my
life. Hey, I just thought of an idea based on your story. Babyface Joel Solomon, jot this down. Bet your bar mitzvah bank. And I go around betting kids who just had their bar mitzvah. And I try to take their money from. Maybe we involve charity. I don't think it's necessary. All right, let's do a couple more games here. Browns. Oh, Cowboys-Patriots. I think this is going to be a shellacking. I really do. I think this is not, eventually, the old man, it's nice. These are all your prizes. Well, I'll go through your garage. This is great, Belichick. But you don't have the horses to match up. Now, you could say the same thing with the Patriots, but it's not the Patriots. Sorry, the Bucks. But there was a little emotion. There was a lot of rain. I think Tom Brady tanked a little bit. I'm kidding there. But this is low. I thought this line would be like 6.
Right. Well, this is a different line. You're also talking about 3 fewer points. Why is this? Explain this to us, Sal. Why is this number actually dropping? Bigger as the week has gone. I would start down to 3.
Bad weather? I'm trying to figure
didn't
out.
Didn't it start at 4 and a half? Or 4 was
it? Yeah, like 3.5 right in there. 4. Yeah. Let me read you some stats if what you've seen with your eyes isn't enough. Starting rookie quarterbacks last 6 against the Cowboys, 1-5, 1-5 against the spread.
Trayvon Diggs may not play. That can't be worth a half a point, can it?
I mean, this Patriots team, it's not the same defense. It's not, they don't force turnovers. It's not the same offense. Their running backs fumble. It's not what you used to here. 26th in points per game, 27th in rushing yards per game, 27th in big plays. Dallas in those categories, second, and first. I don't know. I mean, I'm too biased. They're the last remaining undefeated spread team, 5-0. I just think they're outclassed. And you're going to show me spreads probably, Martin. I know you are, with Bill Belichick at home as an underdog. So go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, all those numbers are, like, incredible, right, Belichick? But it's hard to judge it because he's also had Brady for most of that time, too. Sure. So it's also Brady at home as an underdog. I think Diggs might not play. Obviously, he hasn't practiced all week with his ankle. Right. And if you look at the Cowboys' turnovers, they've had a lot. Trayvon Diggs has had, six, like, almost all of them, mm-hmm. right? So I get that this Cowboys – everybody says the Cowboys' defense creates turnovers.
It might be because of that.
It might be just because of Trayvon Diggs. I'm with it. If Ty Smith doesn't play and Matt Judon is left on, Steele or Williams, whoever they're going to slide over there at tackle, mm-hmm. that's going to be a mess because Matt Judon, West Bloomfield High School's finest, is going to eat, go crazy. And this is the time. I told you 2 weeks ago, it's time to start betting against Mike McCarthy because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, yes, you win the coaching matchup for sure.
And so here we are.
No question there. Yeah, six Speaking interceptions, of- 10 passes defended. We need Diggs in there. But it's still a game where you have to score points to win, right? So are you going to keep Dallas to 24? I don't think so.
Well, you know, first of all, it feels like a recurring theme in my brain, at least, that all the best teams keep having really tough, like, banner matchups week after week. It seems like nobody gets a week off in terms of, some weak sister in pro football. And the Cowboys fit that description. It seems like they keep having these big, tough matchups. Anyhow, so they have to travel up to Foxborough. And the book, the rhetoric on Belichick rightly deserved this. Well, he just takes away what you want to do most on offense. That's what he's going to do. Well, what do the Cowboys want to do on offense? They want to do what Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin did, whatever the defense allows us to do. Go ahead and take away Emmitt/Zeke.
Right.
We'll throw it over your head. What's Belichick's answer to this high-powered offense? It's so loaded.
Let's give Zeke a little love here. On pace for almost 1,600 rushing and 17 total touchdowns. So, but if you're a Tony Pollard guy, great. This is working. This 1-2 punch is
It's interesting, though. Two things Sal told me.
Michael Gallup's been out. Like, they haven't even – this isn't even like their whole offense.
I know. More than 20 years ago, two gambling little tidbits Sal threw my way was, one – when it seems fishy, ride it. So this seems fishy, so we should take the Patriots, right?
I know. I just...
And also, the other side of it is, you said, in pro football, mm-hmm. unless the team is junk, which team needs it more? Which team needs it? The Patriots really can't lose more ground here, right? I mean, how far back are they going to fall? I'm not even talking about the division chase. I'm talking about, I know it's only week six, but the Cowboys have to be feeling pretty cozy looking around their division. And thinking, like, no one's going to get
us. That's a decent point for the Patriots. They're looking past us a little bit.
But. And Cowboys 5-0 against the spread. Like, just...
It's got to end sometimes.
It's got to end sometimes.
I just think on the scoreboard, you have to see points, and the Cowboys are going to... I don't think the Patriots will be able to do what they did to the Texans as they came back with or without.
There's no practical reason to take the Patriots.
Yes. All right.
Outside
Sunday
of the fact
night,
that the last two games they played have been within 3 points.
Now, we talked about this Sunday night, Steelers.
I mean, against the Texans? That's what we're looking at? All right. That disproves your point in a way.
That's why I would take the Patriots because I think they would cover 4. Like, I took them on minus 3. No, not minus 3. I took them
on fight.
Whatever this podcast is called.
This is extra points.
On Wednesday.
And the Steelers have an extra point here at 5.5. I think it was 4.5 and went all the way up against the Seahawks and Geno Smith. Now, there's a couple ways to look at this. It's Geno Smith, and he got lucky, and now there's tape on him, and the Steelers' defense is ready to swarm. But he did have a couple nice drives, and he has some nice pieces in those receivers. I think it's too much. The Steelers could be up 4 and then score a touchdown at the end and win by 11, but I'm not buying it. They were 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 home games, 0-6 in their last 6 as a favorite. It's not a familiar good spot for Mike Tomlin betting wise. I'm going taking the points, Shaq.
I feel like they can see on the horizon, they're going towards the oasis in the desert here through the first 6 weeks the Steelers are, and they see, like, can we just get to that little pool of water there and get a drink and we'll rest up for a fortnight before we have to play the Brownies? Let's just get there. I'm with you. This is a tough one, but the defense, my recurring point with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021 is this defense is supposed to be borderline dominant, and I don't care who's missing from it. Cam Hayward, Minka Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, the rest of them need to be able to stop Geno Smith. They need to be able to silence him and win by a touchdown. I'm taking the Steelers at home. I don't love the flawed Steelers team, but it's got to be good enough. Get to the bye at 3-3, and then we'll make sense of where they are and where the rest of the season lies and whether or not they can indeed chase that seven seed.
How about this, Martin? We talked about teams that absolutely need it, you know, as far as week six goes. The Chiefs, this game we didn't really go over.
I think, by the way, though, both these teams, Seahawks and Steelers, season reasonably ends for you. You ain't going to the playoffs if you lose this game.
Yeah, it's hard to say the Seahawks don't need it. But if you took on a teaser just to win, the Chiefs over the Washington football team seem to be in a good spot there. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers just to win over the Seahawks.
That would be my – I actually would like that tease a lot. I took the Steelers minus 5.5, and I don't like it too much, but it's like check all just said about all the defense. There's the names out there. It's Geno Smith, right? I feel like the Steelers may have been favored in this game if Russell Wilson was playing, seeing as it's at Pittsburgh. It would have been a shorter line, but
No, they say that had it been Russell Wilson, that the Seahawks actually would be given points.
I saw them minus 1.5. I picked the line, and then I looked back to you could see the line from the week before.
Well, if that was Seahawks the case, then that would have been all over. Yeah,
it makes a 7-point difference. Russ makes about a 7-point difference.
But I just don't see that Seahawks defense is so bad. Mm-hmm. It's so bad that even Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers should be able to move the ball with some level of efficiency, even though Mr. Milk Crate is not going to play.
Mr. Milk Crate.
Not nice at all.
I kind of like that.
You know what's another one, if you don't mind waiting till Monday night to get your payoff? I think a lot of money is going to go towards the Titans at home.
Oh, you think so?
I bet it does because people regard what happened last. The Titans smoked them real good a year ago around this time in Nashville. Remember that game when everybody was riding big on the Bills and all of a sudden the Titans whipped them? I bet you that if you take the Bills and make it
it's 5.5, so you'd say, Oh, so you're saying the Bills just to win.
You know what? Now I could go either way on that. Now, if you go Nashville, now I'm looking at it. Tennessee, I guess if you take them up, are they going to get whipped to the same degree the Chiefs did? I don't think so. I think the Titans have a chance to act.
Tough for the Bills to get up for two road.
That's what I'm talking about. Am I right? Doesn't that feel that way? All these good teams keep playing super relevant games week after week. The Browns are another one of those teams. Now they get the Cardinals. They just played the Chargers.
Yeah. That's how it goes. All right. Listen,
a lot of good teams in this league, Shaq.
I guess so.
Do it all on FanDuel Sportsbook. They want you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay, three legs or more. If your bet doesn't win, FanDuel pays you back up to $10. Fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure. America's number one sportsbook. No feeling like nailing a same-game parlay. So, Shaq, it could be Najee Harris over rushing yards. It could be, your boy... who was it? Got in the end zone. Claypool to score.
Spaghetti and I settled yesterday. We did this on -3. I go DK Metcalf for an anytime touchdown.
Interesting.
I mean, they keep getting beat for big plays that Steelers defense does. Who makes more big plays in pro football than that guy does? I like him. I say take the Steelers, and I say take the over. I know Geno has depressed that number, but look at it. It's a 42.5, I think, that game.
It's up to 42.5.
I think you take that over.
Do that. So many combinations. Lock in your bet today, FanDuel Sportsbook, and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code Extra Points, and if your first bet loses, $1,000 back. Site credit. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117. For confidential help in Michigan, the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. Visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. All right.
But before you move on, I know we have so much to talk about. What a night, by the way, on Thursday night. It seems like what a run. I mean, baseball and is out there to be watched if you care about that. I know. We'll do all that very quickly, though, fellas. Count these up in your head as best you can. Ready?
Go ahead.
I almost would take Washington, except that two of their offensive linemen are down, and that's not great for that team. But nevertheless, I told you 4-3 is where the Chiefs would be, and that's the best they can possibly be now, seven games in. Count these up for me. We all assume the Chiefs are into the playoffs, but at Washington, count the losses for me here, okay? Ready? Here we go. At Washington, at Tennessee, Green Bay, Dallas, two against Vegas, at the Chargers, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati.
You hate doing this. Why are you doing this? And then at Denver.
And I for two with Denver, right? Or maybe just one. But okay.
No, two with Denver.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
I can make a pretty good case that there are five losses in there. And if they're and
five more?
Five more losses in addition to the three that they already have. And if eight, you get to seven, that point, 12. 9-8, so you're right on the fence.
You think 7-5? I do think Andy Reid at some point says, hey, we're not, because, you know, there's only one bye now, right? I mean, it has been last year the same way. He might just be like, hey, let's get the 7th seed. Let's just do, who cares? Let's just roll through this this conference. Let's just stay healthy.
What do you think?
I think 9-8 gets them there in the AFC.
I think it's very close,
they'll be favored in almost all those games.
I don't know if I see five more losses out of here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. But at Tennessee, I'm saying it now. Give me Tennessee in that one. At the Chargers should be a loss. Your Cowboys are for real, Sal.
Oh, thank you.
That's three I'm counting right there for you. So, and at Cincy, week 16, that's going to be a playoff game. That's going to be winner of that one, maybe gets a wild card.
I'll even give you four. So if they're 10-7, I'll give you your good pick with the Chargers winning the division. But if they're 10-7, I don't think they're worried. I mean,
at 10-7, they're in. But I'm counting for you that this is not. We shouldn't assume. Chiefs will turn it on.
No,
eventually.
But we went over the 7 seed in the AFC. Mm. It's pretty light. We'll check that out. Let's do our pup of the week. Ooh. Speak about upsets, right? Extra points, pup of the week. I think we went 0-3. Last week was our first week going 0-3.
I don't want to talk
about
it.
Poor Martin. We're so close with Houston.
I don't want to talk about it.
You know what?
It was heartbreaking, Sal.
We'll give you that one.
Destructive, honestly. It ruined my Sunday.
Yeah. Speaking of ruined Sundays.
And they covered.
The Detroit Lions have had three of their five losses within one possession. The first team ever to lose back-to-back games on 50-plus yard field goals. They're those that Dan Campbell's blubbering mess after the games, and I think they win. I think they beat the Bengals. If you go, I think they are a huge favorite to be the last winless team. I think that stretches over here. I don't trust that Burrow gets through any game. I know Bengals fans get on me. They're like, oh, that's a lazy narrative. Really? He's suffering injuries we don't even see on the field. He's got a throat contusion. He's like an opera singer now. He can't use his voice at all the whole week. Bengals kicker ain't beating them with a last-second field goal, so the Lions don't have to worry about that, although he might think he got it. So regardless of whether he's celebrating, I like the Lions to come here. I think Goff can only blow so many of these. Hmm. Dry those tears, Dan Campbell. Lions plus 156 over Bengals.
I, too, am taking the Detroit Lions as my extra points pup of the week. I am. I hate to follow behind you in that way.
That's all right.
But
it's a winner.
It should be. It should be in the Lions. The Lions to be winless is kind of crazy when you think about how many last second losses and just they were in the game in Green Bay in half. And I don't want to go back down all the different ways I've lost money betting on the Lions this year. But week six, they get it right.
This is one of the most competitive fights available in the animal kingdom. Would a Bengal tiger defeat a lion?
Absolutely.
It does.
What do you mean it absolutely? How do you know? How would you? How do you just spit that out? You didn't even think about it.
Lions spend 20 hours of sleep per day.
Well, I'm assuming the lion's going to be, they're going to wake the lion up for the fight.
Just wait 4 hours and fall back asleep.
Oh, so you just
the Bengal tiger will have that sort of discipline. I'm going to wait you out.
I mean, why not?
Interesting. So if it's a cat and mouse game between cats for 4 hours,
right,
then things are eventually going to pass out.
Right. Like I know a Bengal would beat a jaguar,
uh-huh,
you know, because it's bigger. But I don't know.
I thought nothing beats a lion.
Doesn't now, it's king of the jungle. It's sort of like the lobster and drawn butter thing for me. Like, you know, lobster gets the headlines.
A lobster gets its ass kicked.
But yeah, but the drawn butter gets a lot. Why is the lion? Why did everybody else in the animal kingdom say, like, yeah, let's go with it. Let's elect him our king. What? Well, I mean, I guess you don't elect the king.
So you're saying it's like Cowboys being America's team?
Very simple.
That's all it is.
Thank
it's just
you.
Good
now,
branding.
Look who's finally come around. But really, I don't know. I guess we'd have to look into the dimensions. Babyface Joel, can you look up and see who's heavier? I'll go with that. Is one
heavier? Who cares? An elephant falls to a lion for some reason.
Yeah, but it doesn't have sharp teeth, and I think those must go a long way. I don't know, but I would think that has to factor prominently in a fight between two cats.
I can't believe, one, that you brought up the sleep thing, Martin, and secondly, that we're going to break this out and make this a video for social media.
Be a sleeper of the week, really.
I mean,
could be your sleeper of the week. It really fits your narrative. You're taking the Lions.
And you know what? The Lions stayed awake for maybe all four quarters of a game instead of...
Oh, wow.
Boom. See, this I can keep like it going. Let's stretch it.
Beautiful.
It's just coming together. Now put me on the Lions now, too. And at the end of the day... The Bengal tiger, I'm sure, has done some nice things and defeated a lot of foes, eaten a lot of gazelles or antelopes or whatever they go after. Mm-hmm. But he is the king for a reason. I'm going to take the Lions, too.
You are? Oh.
No, that's not my pup of the week. I'm going to go with, you know that I don't know.
We're waiting.
I happen to believe that the people who play pro football are human beings. Mm. And so they're subject to many of the same emotions that we are. They just have a different sense of self than at least Dave Dameshek has. They believe in themselves. But did the Bengals come away from that Packers game believing in themselves, or was that a gut punch? We won't know until we see them play this game. I do think the Raiders are galvanized short term. I don't know what happens over the rest of the season. I do think that if you read the tea leaves, they wanted Gruden out. There were guys in that locker room who didn't love John Gruden. Right. They're probably a little happier. And I think they want to show that to the new regime here.
Yeah.
Give me the Raiders on the money line in Denver to take down the Broncos, who have gotten a little exposed over the
last four years. That locker room has to use this as rallying purposes, right?
It feels that way already. Yeah. I mean, if you hear the rhetoric coming up, for what it's worth, Mayock and otherwise, like, is he a good football coach? Hell yeah. But he's an even better human being. Yeah. Huh. Wonder why he wasn't in charge then.
Right.
Anyhow, but either way,
I'm with you. I
think they'd show up for this one.
I picked them to make the playoffs. It's insane that 11 days ago they were 3-0 or 12, whatever it was. I think they're back to form. I just think they're better than Denver. And this is a good emotionally. They rise to the occasion.
I don't.
No.
I think you're wrong. First of all, check in 2011, a tiger killed a lion with a single paw swipe. According to Smithsonian
magazine. I need more specifics than just that you throw some anecdote out.
There we go. Smithsonian
magazine. Was it a baby lion? You don't
know.
The average Bengal tiger is heavier, 490 to 420.
I mean, maybe we need to look into, maybe we're a little late to the game in 2021, but maybe the lion should be stripped of its crown. Maybe we've just accepted that as fact, and we need to have a little more debate here.
My biggest beef, how are you king of the jungle and you don't even beat her? You be in the desert. Like, you see lions, they're always like, there's always sand around them, all that. Tigers be in the jungle. But anyway.
Wouldn't an elephant must just be like a predisposed to being Switzerland or something? Because an elephant would beat either one of those, wouldn't it? If it wanted to. It just doesn't feel like it.
They're too big for the smoke.
But isn't it like you just don't want to piss it off?
Yeah, it's too big for the smoke.
Yeah.
If they were humans, they'd be shoot 'em size. They're too big to fight.
Sleeping giant.
All right, check. We're going to send you on a safari to figure this all out.
That'll be perfect. Me and Joel. Jews out in the...
I didn't like the Raiders all year. I haven't liked the Raiders. Their offensive line has been kind of Swiss cheese. They got that win against the Ravens. We just spent half the beginning of the podcast talking about how the Ravens got lucky. So I haven't liked the Raiders, and I like them even less now.
But do you like either one of those teams?
I like the Broncos better than the Raiders. I think the Broncos have real defensive pieces.
Quarterback league. Derek Carr.
What did Denver do against Baltimore? They were awful.
They were.
The Raiders beat Baltimore. All right. FanDuel.com. You go to the weekly specials. Go to sportsbook.fanduel.com. They have weekly leaders in every position there. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Not necessarily like left guard, but all the skill positions. I'm going running back, and I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor to have the most yards rushing. 16-1. Last week he had 53 in that Monday night game. He broke one, though. He's back. He's definitely back. He had 116 receiving. Only 15 or 16 carries the last few weeks, but I think he breaks a few. It comes less in the receiving side of the equation and more running the ball. He has 6 yards a carry against Houston, 29 for 174 last year. You can run on Houston. Montgomery had 113. The Bills had 199. The 26 in the lead against the, in the league against the run. I'm going Jonathan Taylor, 16-1. Martin, you have a position? You have a favorite?
I am. I'm going former Clemson Tiger Mike Williams to lead the league this week in receiving yards, plus 3,100.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And another special I like Zeke combined rush pass, rushing and receiving yards, over 100 and a touchdown for plus 250.
I like that too. I like that too. But I like that last week too with Barkley and a couple other things that didn't work. That's plus 250 that he gets over 100 combined plus a touchdown?
100 combined plus a touchdown, plus 250.
Wow.
Mike Williams will lead the NFL in receiving in week 6.
All right, check.
This one isn't too sexy, but I'm going Tyreek Hill to lead the league in reception yards this week at plus 1,100. And I think that it's not great what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now, which is forcing the ball into Hill and to Travis Kelce and looking almost never at anyone else out on the field. But for 1 week, they must get this game. And I think that he rides his high-end security blanket in Tyreek Hill, who – ought to be able
that's
to run past
you get
Washington
that,
over and over again.
Get that in two receptions, right? You can win the week in just two catches with Tyreek Hill.
I mean, they better diversify over the course of the season. Mahomes better, but for now, go to D.C., win the game, and then we'll worry about things the rest of the way. Tyreek Hill.
All right, let's switch to baseball. Lots of baseball going on. We have our ALCS and NLCS set up. It's Astros, Red Sox, it's Dodgers, Braves. The Dodgers beat the Giants. Really good game. Sorry, Jeff Schwartz. He stayed up for nothing. Dodgers win that. Bellinger comes through. Big hit. He's 2 for 48 against the Giants coming into this game. And then the big check swing by Wilmer Flores. Was it a bad call? Yeah, I think so. I think Wilmer, and I have a soft spot in my heart for Wilmer with the 2015 Mets and crying on the field and everything like that when he thought he was traded. It was a bad call. I don't think it was one of the top 50 or 100.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Well, and in history, I think people are making more of it.
In history.
Really? It's one of the top 50 worst calls?
Worst way for a season to end on a bad call? This is right there in history, just a tick below Brett Hull being in the crease and scoring the cup winner.
Oh, come on.
You can push back and say, well, that guy, what's he going to do? He's gonna hit a home run and win it for the Giants?
He still had to do it. It's not a bad play. It's not the World Series where they made the wrong call at first base. Like, no, that's safe. And then they went like that. There's still many steps ahead before they win the game. He could swing and miss on the next pitch. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Again, I love Wilmer, and that's no way to end the game. I don't know what goes through an ump's mind when it's that close.
I'm just saying you got to be. I just can't. It's nice when the Dodgers win for the locals. And by the way, what so quintessentially, like I said about the Chargers with the Raiders fans cheering for him a couple weeks ago in the new stadium in LA. Same thing. Wasn't that great? Up in San Francisco, all those blue hats intermixed with the black and orange hats and everything. It was really great. I don't think you could get away with that, like a Red Sox Yankees thing. Are there Red Sox fans populating Yankee Stadium in a big playoff game? I thought
it
was really neat.
Ends in disaster with the Dodgers Giants. Although
I guess
two Dodger fans. It looked like out of work. Actors fighting each other.
I know. I think it's a little too cute given some of the history there between those fans. But anyway. I think that I think that was a dreadful way for the Giants to have to go out there.
It's not cool. Let's just say that. It's not cool, Martin.
No, I wouldn't agree.
but really fun. Really a dynamite five-game series.
Yeah, for sure. It should have been 7. Could have been 9. Now Dodgers-Braves, this is the biggest favorite a road team has been. Since the 86 Mets went to Houston, they're minus 225. I'm going Dodgers in 5, and I'm going Astros in 6, and you parlay those together, you get plus 140. I have to root for the Dodgers now. I hate the Braves. I hate this Astros-Red Sox series. I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Spaghetti, go big or go home. Oh, go.
Are you rooting for the Braves?
I'm not necessarily rooting for the Braves. I mean, I'm rooting for the NL winner, obviously, in the World Series. Right. I think I'm fine with whatever. I think living near people who are Dodger fans, and I'm using hand quotations here, they do kind of get on my nerves a little bit because I do feel it is still a wishy-washy crowd here. I would be okay with the Braves.
That's not fair.
But Dodgers fans. The reason why I want the Braves to win is because their best player did go down to an injury. And the Dodgers, as Hen just yelled about, added so many top level players in Scherzer and Turner. It's like, let the Braves win with the lineup they kind of glued together, and they're doing a great job.
But don't our houses go up in value if the Dodgers win? I don't know how that works out.
One, the Dodgers fans are legit. Dodgers and Lakers fans are for real. They're just so many of us, Spaghetti, from different places who have different rooting interests. But I think those people are, I think they deserve, I think they're a little disrespected nationally. But I'm going to go to the American League. I don't know what the Red Sox are doing. I think it stinks that they're 9 games back of the Rays, and somehow they're the ones now in the ALCS. I think it ends here, and I'm going big. I'm going Astros. Sweet, plus 600.
Wow.
Plus 600, 4 games.
Good for you.
How do you win without pitching? Chris Sale? If Chris Sale loses this one, you can feel pretty good about Damashek's bet here.
I guess so, although he lost to Tampa. No, like that was it. But I like the Astros, though, for game one, for sure. You got, was it Framber Valdez, 2-0 against
If you
the
like
Sox.
That, then the sweep seems pretty reasonable, right?
What's the odds for that?
Plus 600.
Plus 600. Valdez, 14 innings pitched, 2 runs allowed, 18 strikeouts in 2 games against the Red Sox. I'm taking them. Martin, you care? Pick a World Series. I mean, you care the least, so you're probably going to be most accurate in your assessment.
Honestly, I like the Dodgers and the Astros, but that's just from hearing my dad tell me about how good the Dodgers have been. And
they don't screw up. Mookie Betts kind of came alive in that series. Like he really does it with the Game 5 heroics, or back against the wall heroics, for sure. That is true. McCullers is off the that's true, Spaghetti. McCullers, that there is some concern with McCullers and the Astros. But I just don't like what they did to the Yankees and what they did to Tampa Bay with the relievers coming in. It just got very lucky, right?
The thing that scares me about the Astros and why I can't believe I'm going to almost root for the Red Sox. I'm not rooting for them, but it's just like they are this pesky team. I think best case scenario is the Red Sox may have what it takes without McCullers for the Astros to beat the Astros, and then have the Astros, the Sox then losing the World Series to the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers will end up beating the Braves.
But McCullers is officially out for the
series. He's not on the roster.
The
he's not on the roster.
Yeah. I don't believe that Nick Pivetta is going to come back with the heroics that he pulled. Even Garrett Whitlock, they're going to ask too much of him day in and day out. All right, so those are our baseball picks. Do we want to talk Kyrie, or should we just end this here? Basketball starts up Tuesday.
Stop tying yourself into knots trying to justify this. Fine. It's his right to do what he wants to do, but let's not pretend that.
Just don't play. Of course,
you're allowed to do what you want.
Yes,
but the people who pay you are allowed to
over your head to play basketball, and you're like, I'm not doing that. Like, okay, fine.
Well, freedom of choice isn't freedom of confidence. Freedom of
consequences.
Freedom of, yes, consequence. Thank you. Yeah. I'm sure Kyrie's plenty confident in his choice.
Yeah, right. But, well, he's doing research, Martin. You understand? He's in the white lab coat. He's like, all these doctors and scientists have come back, but he's like, all right, you know what? I still have to do research.
But it's just, at the end of the day,
what does that look like?
Just, the juice isn't worth the squeeze with Kyrie. Right. Like, it's not worth, like, if this was LeBron, they would be figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if this was Kevin Durant and his vaccine status was in question, they'd be moving practice to New Jersey. But it's just, it's not. It's not either one of those guys. It's Kyrie. He hasn't played 70 games the last 5 years.
That's true. FanDuel doesn't seem to care. They still have the Nets at top at plus 250, and they have the Lakers at 4-1. We'll give our picks next week. We're going to be on Wednesday. We'll give our, I know the season starts Tuesday.
All that said, the question you were going to ask is, could the Nets win it without Kyrie? And the answer is clearly yes. A few months ago, last spring, they were a bucket away from getting real close.
Toenail away. Yeah, right. From getting there. All right. Lemon pepper parlay. Lots of fun. And TJ mixing it up.
At a pretty remarkable rate through the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. You guys should brag about this.
You should just lie, even if you're not. Just say you are.
Damn it, like I said, there's no cap in my rap.
I don't know what any of that means, but all right.
Wait, what's the other one? If you, the cheddar. Wait.
It's always better with the cheddar.
Always better with the cheddar.
Always better
That's
with the cheddar.
That's true, too. Lemon pepper parlay. Check that out. TJ and Martin Weiss.
To say there's no cap in my rap check means I'm not telling you a lie. I'm telling you the truth.
I picked up. I'm not as square as you think.
The t-shirts will spell it all out. Minus three, Mina Kimes.
Yeah, trio of shows this past week. Hench, right. Of course. And then we did our NHL preview. And then we had Mina Kimes talking all things NFL. Deep dive kind of on the AFC contenders. Check it out.
There you go. Against all odds. We have Jen Piacenti, right, in Waiver Wire with Eddie Spaghetti. You have a lot of video breakouts of that online. And, oh, yes, the Extra Points Arcade, extrapoints.com/arcade. We have, Sheck, let me ask you, how many pretties in the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm? How many pretties, I guess, are uttered in the first episode? Over-under is 3.5. That's our prop culture quiz on extrapoints.com/arcade. So if he doesn't say it at all, you got an under.
I'm going to go six.
Six, so over.
Yeah, over.
So is that two?
Two runs of that. Pretty. Okay. By the way, my least favorite of the recurring go-tos.
In
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And you love that show.
Pretty. I think, by the way, maybe hot take, but Curb Your Enthusiasm over Seinfeld.
I know you say that. I love Larry David. He was on my cousin's show this week. So he had complained that he didn't have in that. I don't know if you saw in that hallway up. He complained that he didn't have a picture up. So Jimmy had everyone, they had him change it so that every single picture, and now it's like 40, well, it's a long walkway up to the stage, was a picture of him. And he laughed about it. The part he didn't laugh about is when they replayed him walking up down the hall. And they're like, because it was hidden camera-esque, you know, you weren't obviously going to follow him. Then he would think something's up. And he's like, I'm not coming back for another 5 years. I don't think he liked that his privacy was violated. Larry David's the greatest.
I agree with you, Sheck. Curb over Seinfeld.
Really? I can't do it. I can't commit to it just yet.
How many more seasons?
I need to see a little more. No, I need to go through reruns like I did Seinfeld. I have to say, if Super Dave Osborne was in Seinfeld, I would say Seinfeld for sure, but it's very, very close. Just a reminder out there. You're all my favorites. Now, how's it go?
Something like that. It felt like you missed something.
Yeah. What is it? You may feel like underdogs, but you're all my favorites. See you next week.